Cheeky.
Hello, Cheeky.
Hello, Cheeky.
Hello, Cheeky.
Hello.
Bring back Garrison Theatre. If music be the food of love, could you whistle me Egg and Chips twice?
Certainly.
That sounds like the Deadwood stage.
That's it. I couldn't hear. I was whistling. Oh, I'll open the door and have a look. It is the Deadwood stage.
Howdy, Mr. Cryer.
Morning, Doris. You're early.
Yep. We was attacked in Deadman's Gulch by Indians.
What happened?
Pelted us with poppadoms.
Good Lord. What have you got for us today?
Just a couple of meanwhiles. Here you are.
Oh, thank you. Meanwhile, in an art gallery next to a far too loose Lautrec.
Morning, Rodney. Are you exhibiting here today?
Can't, old boy. The raincoat's at the cleaners.
Ah.
And meanwhile...
Get on with
all
it.
All right, just brushing these poppadoms off it. Meanwhile, in a tea shoppy just next to the bus stoppy...
Morning, waiter. Can you do tea for two?
No, but I can whistle the Deadwood stage.
You've just done that joke.
Oh, in that case, we're closed for lunch.
Hello. Me here. I'd like to reply to a lady who's written to me with a problem. Her problem is chronic absent-mindedness. I know it is, because she's forgotten to put a letter in the envelope.
Hello, everyone. Well, my castaway today is Enrico Fudge, the celebrated operatic tenor and pervert. Well, now, Enrico, if you were castaway on a desert island, what do you think would be the first thing you would do?
Well, first of all, I would look around for something to make a shelter. For instance, this table. I would break off the legs of the table, like this.
Enrico, that's our table.
And of course, one of the first essentials is warmth, so I'd break up the chairs and set a fire to them.
Enrico, that's...
Then
BBC.
I would want a weapon to defend myself. This microphone would make a good club. Yes.
Enrico,
then
we would have...
Food. Food is an essential, and I want you to know I'd have no scruples about eating a fellow human being.
No, Enrico, get up!
Next week, parts of Roy Plumley will be talking to another castaway.
Good night. Here is Chuffley Marmalade to interview a man who holds a unique record.
Evening, Mr. Headstone. I understand you have more letters after your name than anyone in the world.
Yes, you could say that.
I just did.
I thought someone had. It's the heat, you know. They always shrivel up in the warm weather. Yes, I am known as Neasden Headstone. AB, BSC, CID, HLS, LBW, PUC, YMCS.
Stranger than truth.
Did you know that King Alphonse I of Burgundy reigned for 12 years? He was followed by dry spells and King Alphonse II.
I say, you fellows, have you seen this in the paper? Naked beauty queen tells all I was pornographer's child bride.
What's wrong with that?
It's in the Church Times.
I see. Here is a news flash. Oh! After fighting broke out at the Locarno ballroom last night, police arrested 25 women and tangoed them to the station.
At the South London court this morning, Mrs. Edie Glottal was charged with doing the Velita without due care and attention.
The magistrate sentenced her to 3 months hokey-cokey without the option.
Meanwhile, on a dance floor, a couple are talking.
Enjoying yourself, Mavis?
Oh, it's lovely, Fred, but people are looking. Shouldn't we get up and dance?
Oh. Oh, I used to hate going dancing when I was young. Used to feel conspicuous. It's only later I found you're supposed to have a partner.
I never went dancing or anything like that when I was young. I used to spend my evenings very quietly.
What did you do?
I was a cat burglar.
I had great fun when I was... I was a sadistic Boy Scout.
How do you mean?
I used to force old ladies across the motorway.
HRHCOD, RSVP, MB, DSO.
Are we in Hello Cheeky going in the right direction? I went out and asked a cross-section of the public. Here is the answer.
Shut your face.
It was a very cross-section.
I peeped in to say good night.
Oh, I beg your pardon. And now, here is Heather McTrump, fashion editor of the Pig Breeders' Gazette, to talk about the Paris collection.
Well, this little man in the Pigalle showed me an incredible collection of postcards.
No.
They showed a skin diver and a lady trombonist.
No, Heather.
And their gumboots.
The fashions, dear, fashions.
Oh, yes. Well, there were a lot of skinny women in frocks made of cloth and things with buttons and thingies. And they were all different colours and they walked up and down a lot. And I haven't had this job long.
Oh, really?
No. I used to be a spot welder. But the working conditions affected my appearance.
How do you mean?
I kept setting fire to my beard.
Thank you, Heather, and good luck in the future, if you have one.
And now, Arthur Plankton takes us on the Golden Road to Samarkand. What? Oh, we've just heard that due to maintenance work on the M4, we'll have to take you to Didsbury.
Meanwhile, in Didsbury, at a church dance...
These doers are never a success. Look at us, 14 vicars dancing together.
Please kneel down the cabaret. Thank you very much. Amen. And here he is, having completed a long run from the pulpit, a smile, a psalm, and a collar on back to front. Your very own, the Reverend Albert Gherkin.
All right, we've heard it. I was talking to the bishop the other day, stop praying when I'm talking to you, and he said to me, what's the difference between one of your sermons and a vase of flowers on the table? I said, I don't know. And he said, you can stand the vase of flowers on the table. Now then, I just...
Okay, everyone, fly this sketch to a meanwhile.
Meanwhile, at a bakery just behind the Battenberg...
Morning. I've come to collect the giant cake with a naked lady in it for my brother's birthday.
Ah.
Anything wrong?
Well, she was fine when she got in the cake, but she didn't look too good when we took it out of the oven.
Oh. DDIATSLBCRTONBG.
Hello, Cheeky's Postbag. Out of the hundreds of letters you've written us, we're going to read the one or two the post office delivered.
Dear Hello, Cheeky, could you give me some advice on how to become a comedian? Yours sincerely, Roy Hudd.
Dear Barry, Tim and John, were you ever a pantomime aardvark at the Radio City Music Hall, Radnor? If so, could you let me have the quid back? Yours, Elsie Wivenho, soubrette. P.S. If it wasn't you, could you loan me a quid?
Dear Hello, Cheeky, can you tell me the whereabouts of Tim Brooke Taylor? I lost touch with him several years ago. Yours, Mrs. Brooke Taylor.
Well, that's all from Hello Cheeky's postbag for this week. If you'd like to write to us, here's the address.
Bill Oddy, 23 Graham Gardens, Stamford, Brooke Taylor.
Please mark your envelope personal and private and send us a rude photo while you're at it.
Hi, fans. Dennis, he must be worth a bob or two king here. I've just jetted back from Solihull, where Jim Humperdinck threw a cheese and wine party, and tomorrow I'm jetting up to Broadstairs to take a rowboat out with Tom Jones's uncle.
Dennis, shut up.
It's all right for you lot, always in the limelight. I'm always behind the scenes, writing a bit of this, arranging a bit of that.
Looking for a bit of the other.
Right. Just for that, I'm going to play. Ready, lads?
No!
That's near enough.
In Inverary there lives a girl called Mary. Her head is bald but her knees are hairy. She's my true love. She's got a moustache bristling. It wobbles when she's whistling. When we're heather in Norway thistling, she's my true love. She smokes a pipe rough shag. Her bagpipes she likes to lag. Calls me her old tool rag. But Mary is my darling. Fairy Scotland, the brave. Oh,
good, wasn't it? I write all the music on this show, you know. I'd like to take this opportunity of thanking my wife, Carol, who's been my driving force and inspiration, and I've got the bruises to prove it. Hello? Yes, dear. Right, dear.
Is that your wife?
No, my butcher.
Why do you call him dear?
You see the prices he charges.
And now, here is a special announcement. Her Royal Highness Princess Anne Eater, no relation, says...
One always uses hello, Cheeky. It frightens the horses.
Ladies and gentlemen, that joke was by royal disappointment.
What do you mean?
You know who just phoned up and said she never even cracked a smile.
Did she say anything else?
Yes, she said...
At the third stroke, it will be 9 o'clock precisely.
The country's in a bad way, you know. Stranger than truth.
Did you know that gunpowder was invented in 200 BC in China by Qing Ho, of whom nothing further was heard? More successful was his son Wang Ho, who invented the fuse.
I bought my son a chemistry set. On Monday, he made sulfuric acid. On Tuesday, he made hydrogen chloride. On Wednesday, he made an aphrodisiac. And on Thursday, he made the girl next door.
I think my lad's going to be a lawyer when he grows up.
Why?
Last week, he sued my wife for his dinner money.
Meanwhile, over at the Old Bailey, on top of which is the figure of justice, blindfold, holding the scales aloft and laughing her knickers off.
Number one, court.
And that can be very painful.
Mr. Prudhoe, you have told the court in some detail of your sexual encounters with Miss Jaundice in the filing cabinet in very explicit terms. Your graphic description must have opened the eyes of many people in this court. Most interesting, but I fail to see the need for it when you are charged with riding your bicycle without lights.
Milan, as counsel for the defense, I have medical evidence that my client is a pathological liar. Is that not true, Mr. Prudhoe?
No.
You see, Milan. The defense will set out to prove that not only was Mr. Prudhoe not riding a bicycle that evening, he does not even own a bicycle, he was nowhere near the incident in question, and in fact, Mr. Prudhoe does not exist at all. In addition, I shall prove the rear light was working perfectly and the constable is a fat old queen.
Hello, darling, hello, darling, hello, darling.
Sensation in court. I haven't done one of those for ages.
Constable, will you give an account of yourself?
Well, dearie, I was in the river police, but I got fed up treading water under Waterloo Bridge for 4 hours at a time.
You're supposed to have a boat.
Now he tells me. After that, I ran a boutique, but there wasn't much call for that under Waterloo Bridge either.
My lad, I must protest.
What is it, Mr. Flail?
Mr. Prudhoe keeps sticking two pencils up his nose and pretending to be a walrus.
What's the problem?
I wanted to do it. Oh. All I've got left now is my Shirley Temple impression.
Handkerchief, lollipop. Very good. Now, jury, I want you to mark Mr. Flail for presentation, content, and star quality. I think they like you. Now, Mr. Prudhoe, stop eating that raw fish, please. Is it thus that the dignity of British justice is upheld?
Yes!
Thank you. And now, if you'd all join me in singing a chorus of When That Old Gang of Mine Get Together, We Smash Up the Cap in the Square.
We interrupt this tomfoolery to bring you a newsflash. Thieves today broke into a trot when they saw a policeman. Not one of our best, but one of the shortest, owner.
Tom, Tom, the piper's son, stole a pig and away he ran.
It's funny, he's Jewish. Hello?
Anti-Semitic.
Oh, hello, Auntie, how are you?
I can't complain.
Well, what are you ringing up for?
I want to complain. 4 years, I should live so long, I've been listening to your programme. I've not heard one joke about Lockshin soup.
All right, hold on. Waiter, waiter, there's a fly in my Lockshin soup.
What do you expect of these prices, a golden eagle?
All right, Auntie?
Oy vey, I'm going to confession.
But you're Jewish.
Not anymore.
And now here is Dudley Function to talk about Anglo-American relations.
My sister Cicely's come to live in Massachusetts.
Thank you. Oh, dear, well, that brings us to a blank page in the script. You don't get many of these on radio, so pay attention. Ah, if you hold it up to the light, you can see the watermark. It looks like two dogs, we won't go into that.
No. Oh, look, there's a grease stain there where Tim dropped a chip. And there's where we spilt some of Dennis's homemade wine and it burned the paper.
Apart from that, it's sort of white and oblong.
Well, oblong-ish.
Yes, oblong-ish. Oblong-ish. This is the top and this is the bottom.
Got it the wrong way round.
Sorry, no, that's the top, and this is the bottom. And over here, if we turn it over... Oh, good Lord, it's the next page. Where the hell have you lot been? I'm not paid a lot of money to stand about on top of a page waiting for you. Come to think of it, I'm not paid a lot of money.
What are you doing at the top of this page, anyway?
I've been holding this meanwhile, and it's flaming heavy. I shall put it down.
Ooh, meanwhile...
In a bank in front of the cashier, who's counting £12,000 worth of half-peas...
Morning. Name's Gadsden. Just moved into a new house on the Crescent. Run a little business. Family concern. Wondered if you could help me.
Certainly, sir. What can I do for you?
Stick him up.
Oh. Meanwhile, in another pet's hospital just across the road...
What?
Shut up. They'll never notice.
Ah, Mr. Swively. It is Mr. Swively, yes. That egg you brought us, fortunately you were in time. We put it in the incubator and we've hatched out a lovely baby girl.
Oh, dear. The wife and I were hoping for a boy.
Oh.
And now, Lester Peewit, author of Through Soho with Prayer Book and Flick Knife, is here to talk about public conveniences for pleasure and profit.
Hello, dears.
Wrong. As we have a little time in hand, here's a record of Tony Bennett doing Sweet Georgia Brown. Wrong again. Well, how about this?
Hello, jockey. Ow! Oh!
That was John Buchan falling down the 39 steps.
The BBC is now closing down. They don't know it yet, but they are.
Hello, we're a pirate radio station. We'd like to start this evening by making Dave Lee Travis walk the plank. We shall then sail Broadcasting House down Regent Street and bombard the Prince of Wales Theatre. Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of... Crumpatoon, the hair conditioner for you. One application and no more hair trouble. It all falls out.
And now, for those of you who like good music... Here is Cliff Richard as a human sacrifice. Goodbye.
You know, Wogan's winner's becoming the talk of the BBC.
You mean those horses he took?
No, the little blonde in the canteen.
Here is a special message for Mrs. Wogan. That was only a joke, so please don't throw that gravy over Terry when he comes home.
Are you ready, Dennis? After one.
On we all.
Shut up. This is Radio 2 with your traffic and news.
Well, go on, then.
You want an encore?
No, give us the traffic news.
I haven't got any traffic news. I just like singing it. It's my favourite.
Oh, my favourite is... Pete Murray.
Oh, I like Jimmy Young.
Nurse, he's out of bed again.
Black is the colour of my love's true hair.
Have you got that wrong?
No, I saw Roots this morning.
Who is she?
It's a blonde in the canteen.
Terry Wogan will kill you.
Only joking, Mrs. Wogan. Hello?
I'd like to register the most ginormous complaint about these slanderous rumours you're putting around.
Only joking, Terry.
This isn't Terry, it's the little blonde in the canteen.
While you're on, love, what does the chef recommend for lunch?
The cafe across the road.
Ladies and gentlemen, a radio critic once said that the songs on Hello Cheeky were the nadir of entertainment, the absolute rock bottom of music.
We're going to prove him wrong. We're going to get worse. Listen to this.
Why not try a doodly-doo? You just can't beat a good old doodly-doo. If you find your love's untrue, you'll get through with a doodly-doo. You just can't beat a good old doodly-doo. Even though there's nothing very new in it, everybody's doodly-doodly-doo in it.
Increasing source of concern as they happen with greater frequency at universities throughout the world. Why? We've asked the leader of a student revolutionary group to give his point of view. So.
Get up, man! Good, man! Get up, man!
Thank you. To reply, here is the dean of one of our foremost universities. Sir.
Get up!
Thank you. Now, to sum up, here is Monty Modlin. Monty.
Shut up!
OHMS, VAT, RCMP, TTFN.
Well, that's a very impressive list, Mr. Headstone. I see you finished up with the CD. Are you a member of the Corps Diplomatique?
No, that's Civil Defence, which I joined recently because it is to my great advantage.
How do you mean?
Comes the Holocaust, when nation rises up to destroy nation, and the unspeakable terrors of nuclear warfare are unleashed, and the deadly rain falls over the face of the earth, destroying 2,000 years of civilization and mankind, I shall have the stirrup pump.
Mr. Headstone, I think I'm going to cry.
You're moved.
No, I've got an onion up my nose. Yeah. Now, if you'd care to take me in your arms, we can waltz into a home hint for the handyman.
Home hints for the handyman number... Oh, I've lost count.
How to make a parquet table.
Put it out in the cold.
Oh, that's good.
And speaking of cold, I made my kids a snowman at the weekend.
Oh, don't be silly. It hasn't snowed for 3 months.
I've got a friend in the trade. Very useful contact. Got the wife some tartan bloomers once that cost me nothing. Fell off the back of Annie Laurie.
I've got a friend like that. Get you anything. Once got me into trouble at cost price.
Elvis Dandruff?
The one?
Yes, useful fella. Got me a 40-foot well for my back garden, £3.
How do you manage that?
Wholesale.
Meanwhile, in a bar in Casablanca, just after the departure of Ingrid Bergman, who fell off the back of Peter Lorre.
I'll tell you something, Sam. That dame's the only one in the world I gave my heart to, and she's kicked it around like a football. I'm through with women, Sam. All I ever bring is bad news. I'll tell you something else, Sam. You look kind of cute in this light. It's the way it catches your hair. You got nice hair, Sam, and pretty eyes. I've never noticed your eyes before. Sam? Sam? Sam! I wonder if Claude Rains is free for dinner.
Ladies and gentlemen, regular listeners to our program may not believe this.
I don't believe there are any regular listeners to this program.
We are about to take a step into the known.
Yes, a giant step for Hello Cheeky, but a small step for comedy. Three shows at one and the same time.
So, without further ado, or if you'd like some further ado, fill in the coupon in the Radio Times, we present
simultaneous broadcast of
Crossroads,
Tomorrow's World,
and It's a Knockout.
Meg, Meg, there's a party of American tourists in reception. They've just
slid down the greasy pole and
driven up the motorway blindfold. This incredible device, no bigger than a man's hand, has
just fallen out of his trousers. So that means there's three Italians, two of the lads from a witness, and Stuart Hall.
Locked in room 13, I think they might be
sticking a very small transistor up
the German master of ceremonies, Hans Krautkopf.
A little Irish girl from Cork. Anyway, Meg, if you want me, I'll be in the
blast furnace at a temperature of 3,000 degrees centigrade. But immune to heat because he's wearing
a pair of water skis and a Mickey Mouse ahead. He's lost his sense of direction and he's grabbed hold of
Mrs. Mortimer's bust.
She can't be. The motel's making it a fortune.
Only last week we had
12,000 penguins and
the mayor of Doncaster wearing his chain and
Raymond Baxter, who
was seen in the disco last night dancing with that foreign gentleman. I wouldn't be surprised
if it fell off. So all the witness lads have to do now is
of a perfectly stationary 30 feet above the ground. As you can see, the lever is depressed.
I'm not feeling too cheerful myself.
Covering the whole of the designated area in
yesterday's steak and kidney pudding. And for sweet, I'm giving them
a virtually indestructible sheet of metal
and custard.
This could have nasty repercussions. Our lads have played their jokers, so they'll have to rely on their
tentacles. Although made of articulated metal, these have all the dexterity of a human limb and go
right off Mrs. Mortimer's nose. She can't stand him. He went into her office the other morning, grabbed hold of Sheila and
he's pulled them down. Now he's got to carry them over to Marguerite, who's a typist and part-time
7-ton robot capable of
giving her one. What would she want with a motorcycle? She only lives round the corner in that.
Vat of hydrochloric acid.
And when it rains, she comes to work.
On a trampoline, dressed up as a clown. 3 bounces on that and...
She's anybody's. Oh, hello, Luigi.
I'm handing in my notice. There's a man in the bar just ordered...
1,000 gallons of detergent.
Some high-octane fuel.
And 2 skin divers at the bottom and...
A cherry on the top.
Now, don't be hasty, Luigi. Remember, you've got no qualifications. If you quit here, you're the only job you're likely to get is...
Head of a research laboratory in Pennsylvania, who is...
A rather voluptuous French lasso with the exotic name of...
Amy Turtle. She's been in the cottage hospital having a...
Pistons reboard. This can now be done in 3 minutes by anyone with minimal qualifications and...
A bucket on his head. In this, he has to catch...
Mr. Mortimer.
On the job, no matter what the weather conditions. Whether it's brilliant sunshine or...
Hissing down at the far end. They're a good-natured crowd, by and large. In fact, 40 or 50 of them have just...
Gone into the linen cupboard with Sheila. Here, who's that getting out of that car, isn't he?
James Burke.
In a long frock. She's left her husband, you know, and gone to live with...
A frog in a glass jar.
But he can't last. He hops around so much. All the girls at the pickle factory call him...
Professor Jean-Claude Guillaume de Montelassigny.
Ignorant lot.
He pioneered a new kind of screw...
Upside down in a barrel of feathers.
And although it may seem unbelievable...
Don't knock it till you've tried it.
Good night.
Good night, Cheeky.
Gone.
Sayonara, Cheeky. That was Hello, Cheeky with Tim Brooke Taylor, John Junkin and Barry Cryer. Music was by the Dennis King Trio. The script was by John Junkin and Barry Cryer. And the program was produced by David Hatch and Bob Oliver Rogers.